this passage, this message today is entitled Condemnation Condemned. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for our sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Now, as I was preparing this message, literally the week before, I got a great example of sort of what this passage starts out telling us. Right, the beginning of this passage starts out by saying this really powerful statement. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. That is a powerful statement, especially for those of us who know that because of sin, with sin, there is condemnation. It's a powerful statement. When you know the difference between right and wrong, and you know that you've done wrong, that is a very powerful thing for God in his word to tell us that there is no condemnation. There's no more condemnation, but we have been set free. So a few weeks ago, I was working with one of my students, one of the martial arts students. And in particular, this student has to train outside. They have some severe health issues, and when they're hanging out in older buildings, the mold really messes them up. And so the only place they can train really is outside, which is kind of a unique challenge for me, living in rainy Portland, trying to find good places to train. But this particular student is a very diligent, hardworking person who has not let that get in the way. And they are diligent to the point of beating themselves up, metaphorically speaking, all the time, right? This is a pattern that I've seen over and over and over again of this frustration of not getting something immediately, right? You know, we'll be working on stuff where, you know, the skill that we're working on is something that people dedicate their entire lives to, and as a matter of fact, does not get it on the first try, you know? And it is really funny because there is some frustration happening as we're doing one of these lessons. And we happen to be covering one of my favorite chapters in all of the Bible, Psalm 103. That happened to be our message for that day. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your mouth is renewed like the eagle's. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. And that verse in particular, and we can keep going, but verse 11 is something that has, verse 12, has stuck with me throughout my entire walk with Jesus. Because like the student of mine, I have a tendency to beat myself up as well. Metaphorically and unfortunately, literally as well. And you know, as we were going through this passage, the entire time I'm thinking, I'm like, you know, because this kid, he's accepted Christ pretty recently. And I was thinking the entire time we're going through this, I'm like, I bet he's the kind of person that beats himself up a lot in his spiritual life too. And as soon as we hit that passage, I saw a light in his eyes. I could see, it's like, aha, he's thinking about this too. Because the truth that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus is a very difficult thing to accept. Very difficult. It is not an easy thing to say, or not a difficult thing to say. We can read this and intellectually understand, okay, the Bible's saying that if I'm in Christ, there's no condemnation. But to internalize that truth is very, very difficult. To actually let go of the sin that Jesus Christ himself has let go on your behalf. It's a very difficult thing. As a matter of fact, I've seen in my own life that my unwillingness at times to accept this truth has led me into further sin. Isn't that ironic? Right? My guilt over making a mistake, rather than dealing with it the way that God's told us in his word, right? To confess our sins, because he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When I have failed to do that, I find myself feeling guilty and depressed and falling into more sin as a result of that. Because when we don't accept the truth that there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, we are setting our minds on our failings and our flesh, and ultimately that leads to more death. That leads to more problems. And it's also calling Jesus a liar when we don't accept the truth that there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus. In a way, not accepting that truth is like, it's almost artificially keeping yourself in slavery to sin. You're allowing your past mistakes and things that really you should bring to God and say, ask for forgiveness, confess, say, Lord, I messed up, and leave those things behind. When we don't accept that truth, what are we meditating on? What are we thinking about? What are we setting our minds on? We're setting our minds on sin. It's the truth. It's the truth. And in this passage, we get some encouragement. We get a lot of encouragement that for those of us here, thankfully, we can actually really, truly live as free. All of us here. We can actually live as free members of the family of Jesus Christ. And that's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. Now, the passage goes on. It continues here. It says in verse 3, "For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh." So in the passages preceding this, Paul deals with this question of, is the law, is God's law valid? I mean, Jesus had to come, right? Jesus had to come into this earth. He had to die for our sins. So the law that preceded Jesus, is it valid? Was it helpful? Did God fail? He's already answered those questions at this point. You know, if you want to know what the therefore is there for in this passage, he's already answered the question of, did the law fail? And the answer is no. God's law did not fail to accomplish its goal of showing us, showing the people of Israel and us who would follow after, the truth of how we should live, what is right and what is wrong. But what did fail is our flesh, us. It's not that the law was imperfect, it's that we are imperfect people incapable of living out the commandments of God. That's the issue. If you look at the book of Joshua, okay, before Joshua passes away, what does he tell the people? He tells them that they will not be able to follow God the way they should. He tells them that. And he would say, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Right? There's an element of he acknowledges for all the people, you're not going to be able to do it. We're going to fail to keep these commandments, to follow God the way we should. And that's the truth. And that's why, because the issue in this whole equation has always been our flesh as people. Jesus became flesh and lived among us so that he could take the weight of sin. He could take the punishment and the blame and could actually condemn sin itself in his own body. And praise Jesus for that, that he did that. That he would be willing to take on that corruption, take on human flesh, and live this imperfect life. He lived the perfect life. Live on this imperfect earth and experience pain and suffering and ultimately death on account of you and me. Praise him for doing that. Because there was no other way for that to be accomplished. In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So at this point in the passage, after we get to verse 5 here, there's a switch here. Because the beginning of this passage is just crystal clear what Paul is saying to the people in Rome. It's crystal clear. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so he gets into, okay, but who's in Christ Jesus? Right? That's the next question. Who is in Christ Jesus? How do you know that you're in Christ Jesus? What does that look like? There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. So we know what Jesus has accomplished, and what he's accomplished is amazing. We know that if you're in Christ, there's no condemnation. So the question is, how do you know that you're in Christ Jesus? And so he begins this comparison between those who are in the flesh and those who are in the Spirit. And what are the differences here? Okay, what are the differences? It says in verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. So the first point here is that if you are in the flesh, you will know this, because what are you thinking about all the time? What is your mind set on? What is your mind set on? I think it's ironic when we talk about beating ourselves up here. I think oftentimes folks who love the Lord can be the harshest critics of themselves. Rightfully so. I mean, we do fail, right? We do fail. But ironically, the one whose mind is set on the things of the Spirit is probably going to be the harshest critic of themselves. When you think about that, right? The one who actually cares and is actually spending time in the Word and thinking about, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to live my life? Well, the more time you spend in the Word, the more you're going to see that, I just fall short, right? One of my first bosses with CEF, starting out as a missionary, Dave Howe, a really great guy, ended up becoming directing the ministry over Montana, the Montana area. But really great guy. And that was one of the first things he ever said to me when we were getting together and just getting to know each other as a boss and employee and, you know, working together is, you know, Daniel, the more I read God's word, the less confident I am in myself. the less confident I am in myself. And I think that's kind of ironic in a way. You know, the wiser you become, the more you realize, oh man, I don't have this all figured out as a person. But that really is the truth. What we set our minds on really says a lot. Is God and His Word and what's right and what's wrong, what's the mission that He's called us to, service to the Lord, is that on the forefront of our minds, or is that an afterthought? Right? Is it a show, or internally, are you actually setting your mind on the things of the Spirit? That's a question that we should all ask ourselves, right? And it's important. It's, as a matter of fact, it's a life-threatening issue, according to verse 6. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. And isn't that what we want as people? All of us. We all want to have life, and we all want to have peace. And so what is the key to life and peace? To have your mind set on the things of the Spirit. And specifically, this is talking about the Spirit of God. The things of God is another way you could put it. As a matter of fact, all throughout this passage, you could see that God, Christ, and the Spirit, they're being treated as interchangeable, because we're talking about the things of God here, which is encouraging for those of us who believe in the Trinity. It's very encouraging, because Paul is kind of treating them throughout this as interchangeable. We're talking about the same God. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. So now we're getting to a head here, right? So if you're wondering, okay, am I a person that's in the flesh, or am I living in the Spirit? Well, are you hostile to God? Because if you're in the flesh, you can't help but be hostile to God. Now, does that mean you can't walk through the doors of a church? No, that doesn't mean that, right? But ultimately, the way you live your life, if you are in the flesh, is in active hostility to God. It's in direct opposition to Him. And in the long run, try as we might, we can't hide that from Him, right? He knows. He knows if we're living a life that is in opposition to the life that He's created for us and the purpose that He's created for us, right? In verse 8, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And that's the worst news, right? To get the good news, we have to get the bad news. And the bad news is that following Jesus Christ, living in the Spirit, right? Living with God's Holy Spirit in us, this is an exclusive thing, right? Anybody that tells you there are many pathways to heaven is lying to you. Anybody that says that, they're lying. To live in the flesh, if you live in the flesh, you cannot please God. Right? If you choose that, if you choose to live in the flesh, to set your mind on the thing of the flesh, to ignore God, to ignore His plan and purpose for your life, to ignore the Son of God, Jesus, is to set yourself diametrically in opposition to God. Now, I remember there was, when I was younger, there was a couple of social media influencers that were very publicly Christians. At least they've kind of paid lip service to it, even though the stuff they produced was just entertainment, that kind of thing. And I remember they had this huge, very public falling away from the church. And they posted, a bunch of videos and all this stuff explaining why they weren't Christians anymore and all these things. And I remember one of them in particular. And actually, I listened to this full thing just out of curiosity. And what I heard was an atheist doing their best impression of an evangelist. An evangelist for the flesh, making the case for the flesh throughout this whole thing. that was the entire purpose of this, right? Somebody who had been involved with Crew, somebody who had been involved in church, who had grown up in the church, right? And at the end of this long explanation, and really trying to make the case for a very young audience, for the most part, why they should fall away from God, he finished it by saying, and you know what? Even if God does exist, I don't see why He would punish me for just being intellectually honest. That's how he finished this whole thing. I can't forget that. For being intellectually honest. That's not what God is saying in his word. He's not saying, well, you know, you're going to hell because you're just being too intellectually honest, right? That's completely reframing this whole thing. The reason that there's a punishment for sin is because you are choosing active hostility with God himself. You are choosing literally death over life. That's what it means to reject God. You're choosing death over life. And when you choose death over life, you don't get to turn to God and say, well, yeah, I don't think that's very fair of you to give me death when I asked for it, right? I don't agree with your law, and so no. That's not how it works. We don't make the rules, right? But that's how it is. That's how twisted when we set our minds on the things of the flesh, right? Because ultimately it comes down to, do I want things my way or do I want things God's way? We are choosing war with God. I mean, that's what the word is, hostility. We're choosing war with God. And it doesn't matter if you're smiling when you do it, right? It doesn't matter if you've decided that you're an all right guy, because that's what you're choosing, is to reject eternal life with Christ Jesus. And that does not make God happy. Right? That's not what he wants for us, but ultimately that is what that choice means. That's the consequences of it. And it's really a tragedy. In verse 10, oh, wait a second here. Nope, sorry, I skipped ahead there. Verse 9. You, however, are not in the flesh. Good, okay. But in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And that's very encouraging to hear, right? Because I know that my body is dead. Our bodies are dead. They're broken. This world is not as it should be. And it's really helpful in verse 10 here that Paul acknowledges. While our bodies are dead, our spirits have life. That's encouraging because as Christians, we do still fail. We still make mistakes all the time. And that really is because of the brokenness of sin that's ruined our bodies. Right? Because in us, if the Spirit is in you, your mind is set on the things of the Spirit, your desire should be for the things of God. Your desire should be to do what's right in God's eyes, to serve him, to please him. If the Spirit is in you, that's what you should desire with your whole heart, and yet still be incapable of perfectly executing it. That's what it means to have the Spirit of God in you as a sinful, broken person. To have the desire in your heart and your mind to be set on the things of God, and yet we know that we can't perfectly execute those things. At least not yet. At least not yet. Not until we're with Christ himself. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So there's a big difference between a life where your mind is set on the things of the flesh and the life where your mind is set on the things of the Spirit. Paul fully acknowledges that if your mind is set on the Spirit, that doesn't mean that your body is perfect and you're going to be able to execute perfectly all the time. But your mind should be set on the things in the Spirit. And if it is, then you can take comfort in the knowledge that there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. And I think we'd be remiss to not read at least one of the passages that talks about some of these things of the Spirit, right? Some of the things that we should be, our minds should be set on. I think it's a good way for us to conclude the time here together. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Isn't that a wonderful way to put that? Let's keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So let's close in prayer. And I hope, you know, if you are somebody who loves Jesus, which I think is, we could safely say, is the majority here, take comfort knowing that there is no more condemnation for you. That you are free to live out this life of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control that Jesus Christ literally died to secure for you. If you're not confident that you're living in the Spirit, if you're not confident that your mind is set on the things of the Spirit, then you need to repent. You need to repent. All of us do. To come to Jesus Christ, ask forgiveness for your sins. Ask for that new life, because there is life and peace with Jesus Christ that only comes through accepting Him and receiving the Holy Spirit. And of course, if you want somebody to talk to about that, I always finish, every time we do martial arts class or any sort of outreach, I always kind of finish the same way. If you want to talk to somebody about that, about receiving the Holy Spirit and believing in Jesus, then I would gladly talk with you. And I'm sure Gilbert or Haig or Craig would also. But let's pray. Let's pray and thank God for the freedom in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. You've done everything for us. You died for us. You were tortured for us. You bled for us. You took on flesh and condemned sin in the flesh in a way that just none of us here could. Your love is just so overwhelming. The more we read about it, the more we try to understand it, it's just unbelievable how much you love us. Thank you, Jesus. I just pray, Lord, for this room, that for everybody here who has set their minds on the things of the Spirit, that they wouldn't this week beat themselves up, but would instead come to you when mistakes happen and continue to live with the joy of freedom in you. And if anyone here, Lord, is still living in the flesh, I pray that there would be repentance and a new life so that they could know that joy too. In Jesus' name, amen.